We're so excited to be with you in the house and worship today. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Everybody on live stream, we're so excited to have you with us. Let's get into the presence of God. Amen. Come on, there's plenty of room up at the altar.
Step out of the shadows, step out of the grave, break into the wild, and don't be afraid. Run into wide open spaces, grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, grace is waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? All right. Hi. Hey, it's great to see you, sir. Just a couple of announcements. Right after this service, we are having the first annual Turkey Bowl. What this means, we will have a football game displayed on this screen. We have food. We have games outside at halftime. We're going to play an actual two-hand touch flag football game, but also the kids get to pie Pastor Spencer in the face. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what I'm excited about. You know, even little baby Hunter right there, she can go up and she can pie Pastor if she wants to. Because, you know, why not? Also, if you are a volunteer here at His Tabernacle, on December 11th from 5 to 8 p.m., we are having a dinner to celebrate you, because we cannot do any of this without our awesome volunteers who keep us going every single week. At the same time, we have a give-a-thon we're doing. So December 11th at 5:30, we're going live on Facebook to give away awesome prizes to our community just to love them. So while you're here for the volunteer banquet, we'll be live on Facebook giving away prizes. So join us December 11th from 5 to 8. And without further ado, Pastor and Pastor Rhonda.
Good morning, everybody. They're telling me I'm supposed to get like 60 pies in the face. That is not nice. 60 pies in one time. Then they, no, you don't get to do it. And then thank God I have a shower, because they said you're going to smell like rotten milk. Yeah, it's not going to be a great time. But you get to have fun watching it. Amen. I'll trade with any of you. Brother Henry wants to do it. Hallelujah. No? Amen. We're so excited that you're here. We know God. First service, wow, God moved in. The word is encouraging and strengthening. You're going to really love today. So I want to encourage you today to really press in during worship. You know, don't be concerned. I know that we're a little low this morning, but you need to know that according to the national statistics, this is the lowest attended service in the year all over America. But I want to thank God for you. Turn to someone and say, thank God for you.
And second service always starts empty, and as soon as song service is over, it's full. So I don't think it's low, and I don't think it will be low. We're not statistic people.
I don't think I said
we...
Listen,
kind of
we're not going to fight right here. If we fight, no one can pray.
I wasn't fighting.
Wow, it's getting bloody up here, isn't it? Should have seen her first service. She got downright mean during the sermon.
No. I just clarified that he's never changed a diaper in his life. And he hasn't.
All right, we need to pray.
While he still can.
Yeah, Rhonda, why don't you pray? Pray.
Love you so much. You are awesome.
Yes, you are,
God.
Jesus.
We love
Thank
your
you for
presence
the joy of the Lord.
It changes
Thank you
everything.
For your presence.
God
Thank you, God, that you encourage us and strengthen us.
With your anointing presence, Lord, there is nothing impossible and nothing too difficult. So we just thank you, Jesus, that we can come into your holy home, that we can shout your praise, and that we can get excited about an all-powerful, all-living God, and we thank you for it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Let's worship.
Bring all of your burdens. Bring all of your scars. Come back to communion. Come back to the start. And run into wide open spaces. Grace is waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Grace is waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
There is freedom.
Where the Spirit
of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
There is freedom.
Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here. Sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. And chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Come on, sing that. Chains will fall, shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
There is freedom. Where the Spirit
have been broken.
before our God. Darkness bow before our God. Sin must bow before our God. Who can stand against the Lord? Who can stand against the Lord? You gave me shame must bow. sickness must bow, depression must bow, in the name of Jesus, at that mighty name. Beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, and you have no rival. Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name.
Understanding the name is everything. Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 3, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man perfect health in the presence of all. You see, the name is unlike any other name. Many times as Christians, we sing the name, we talk about the name, but we don't really realize how powerful that name is. That at the name of Jesus, every demon in hell recognizes that. And when we stand in faith, the demonic have to submit. When we speak to sickness, it has to submit. Do you know that Jesus never once prayed for one person? This is where a lot of people miss it. They never prayed, Jesus never prayed for one person. He spoke to the sicknesses. And when you start studying the book of Acts, you'll find that they spoke, and in the name, faith in the name of Jesus, cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead. The name is above every name. Man, please don't let it be commonplace to you. You know, when you realize how powerful that name is, it's almost like you use it with a little constraint. Instead of just popping the name off all the time, you realize the authority that's in the name. You realize the power that's in the name. So when you release the name in faith, you know that things in the supernatural realm have to shift. You know, you saw me post something this week. We were watching Bill Winston, and he was saying, there are two worlds. And in one world, we know it's the kingdom of God. And the other world is where we live right now. We've got to occupy till he comes. But we're not owned by this world. There are two ways to think. There are two ways to talk. And there are two ways to act and to react. Whatever world you choose is the world that will manifest. And the world knows to bring heaven to earth, it's not by another man. It's not by a church. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. That when you pray in the name of Jesus, heaven pays attention. When you pray in the name of Jesus, the Father says something's going on down there. When you pray in the name of Jesus, the devils have to bow. When you pray in the name of Jesus, the angels are released. The name of Jesus is all powerful. We've got to recognize that this is not just another little cliche that we have in the church realm. His name is powerful. What a wonderful name, but what a powerful name. In the name is that encompassing love that loves you, that is everlasting. Come on now, with all that we are, we know who we are. Can I hear an amen or oh my?
Amen.
In that name is all packaged in love. And in that name is all packaged in power. When we get it as a church, we change things. Because when we pray, we don't pray the same way. We pray in the name of Jesus, not a hope it's going to work. But when I lay down the name of Jesus, all of heaven pays attention. All of hell pays attention. Even nature has to pay attention in the name of Jesus. It's all powerful. Amen. Aren't you glad that we are not weak? Aren't you glad that we are strong? Aren't you glad we're not here just to survive? Aren't you glad we're here to thrive? Aren't you glad we're here to stand in dominion? We're not here to be dominated by the devil. It all depends on which world you yield to, which world you obey, which world you allow to live through you. Amen? I don't know about you. I'm excited about today. Today's going to be an awesome day. Got to continue. Thank God for worship. Amen? Why don't you go find three people that you do not know and shake their hand and say, welcome to the house of God. I'm glad you're in the house of Jesus. Find three people you don't know and welcome them to the house of the Lord.
Good morning. Welcome. Ooh, it looks like the Bills must be playing today. Are they playing today? I see lots of... What's that? Thursday they won 31-6. Woo! So I see everybody sporting their colors. That's awesome. We're entering into the time of the service of our tithes and offerings. If you could return to your seats. Awesome. Pastor, did you need the help? I better behave today. Being a little sassy. All right. We're entering into the time of the service of our tithes and offerings. And in this house, it's not something we're trying to cut corners or get away from. We love to tithe because it's the word of God. It's his word. He tells us to do it. Malachi 3 says to bring all the tithe into my house. All the tithe. What does that mean? The tithe is 10%. A man didn't make it up. A church didn't come up with it. God spoke it. And they asked us to obey in this thing. And Matthew 23, he also says, red letter, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, you tithe, this you ought to do. So it's something we should do as Christians. And we tithe because we've seen the promises of God, the windows of heaven opened in our life. We've seen how the natural has no effect on our money when we've moved it into the supernatural. It doesn't matter the economy or the season that we're in. We will always flourish and always prosper when we remain in God's economy. So in this house, we get excited. We are a house full of tithers. So if you're ready, stand to your feet. We make a supernatural declaration. I never want this to become religious because every time the word goes forth, every time the word goes forth, it produces what it is sent to do. So you can expect raises, increase, promotion, expansion, witty ideas, inventions. You can expect that to happen because we're sending the word forth and it will produce what we're sending it for. So if you'll repeat after me, it says in Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, don't miss out. Click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
We're so glad you're watching online today. Thank you so much for being part of our family. We're blessed. We have so many folks that watch from literally all over the world, and we're blessed to call you family. And if you are local, we'd encourage you to get out of your house, get into the house. Amen. The anointing is stronger always here than just watching by live stream. So if you're not able to, we just are blessed that we're able to offer this to you. You know, literally, we have folks that live all over the nation that have left here and have struggled to find a church like this. And so they consider this their home. So they're literally watching all over the United States. And we welcome you as being part of our family. Today, I'm excited. This is one of my fun messages. Why? Because it's so real. Turn to someone and say, it's real. Come on, tell somebody else, it's real. I want to preach to you a message that's real today. Now, listen, this is the year to
change forward.
That was so sad. I said, this is the year to
change forward.
Come on, you can do better than that. This is the year to change forward, not change backwards. Not change sideways, not get steady and still. Man, this is where a lot of folk are struggling, man, because they'll look back over this year and say, well, I'm the same person I was when I stepped into 21. I want you to know I refuse to be the same person I was when I came into this year. This is the only year that we know that we have. Can I hear an amen? Oh, I have to do this because I just love them so much. Can you give a hand clap for the Stern, Pastor Stearns and his beautiful bride? We love the Stearns. Amen. It's so important that we recognize, is it smoky in here or is it just me? Okay, I feel better. I wasn't sure. Just a second. I'm excited because I'm watching as many of you are moving forward in your relationship with the Lord, but I'm also watching as some of you literally have not gone forward, but you've gone backwards. Well, Pastor, how can you be so judgmental? Well, it's not as much judgmental. We don't know people's hearts, but we do know people's actions. You shall know them by their fruits. And I want to challenge you. This is the last portion of the year. Let's not finish barely going over the finish line. Let's finish strong. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, finish strong. Tell somebody else, finish strong. Listen, I taught my kids that their whole lives. You never just finish a job. If they were leaving a job, you don't just leave. And many of you have experienced this. If you've been a boss, when they resigned or they were leaving, they gave you the last week, they gave you the worst of their life, not the best of their life. But I always taught my kids, man, when you leave a job, you want them to say, dear Lord, what do I got to pay you to stay? It's going to take me two people to replace you. And God wants the same thing out of our lives because the Lord wants to do great things in you. God wants to challenge you to new places. God wants to do new things in your life. This is the year to change forward. And God's got greatness. Don't settle for goodness. Can I hear an amen? Today, I want to talk to you about really probably the number one secret attack that the enemy has on believers. I've watched it over 30 years of ministry, how many people literally have disappeared from their walk with the Lord. They have disappeared from walking with Jesus. They've disappeared from church because of this secret attack of the enemy. And once you realize, once we start talking about it, you're going to go, oh yeah, I've had that too. Turn to someone and say, I've had that too. Well, you don't even know what we're talking about, but thank the Lord, at least you're admitting. Amen. I want to talk to you about the shame game. It is really one of the number one attacks the devil has in our lives, is bringing shame in our life. Shame, when I start seeing people with shame, you start seeing them disappear. You start seeing them lose their passion. You start seeing them lose the reality of their love for Jesus. You see, the great part about you and I is that we don't have to ever deal with shame. Turn to someone and say, shame should never be part of my life. The Bible says there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Condemnation is powerful. It's shame. Shame is an emotion that makes you feel like you're worthless, that makes you feel like you don't have value, that makes you feel like nobody cares. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, Pastor, I fell into sin. I can't come back because everyone's going to know. Really? You really think everybody knows your sin? You really think everybody's paying attention to your life? You see, the fact is that most of the time, it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's the shame that we're carrying that literally disembowels us from our opportunities that God has for us. So we've got to identify, the Bible says, all the way from the beginning of time, that there is no new attack that the enemy has. That we don't have to be shocked, that we don't have to be ignorant of the devil's devices, it says in Corinthians. So I want to show you today, I want to take you on an adventure of how to destroy the shame game. The devil is going to, at some point in time, if he has not already, try to disconnect you from God's house with. And I want you to identify it. One of the things the devil hates the most is being unveiled. Why? Because once you can identify how he's going to do it, then you know when it shows up who it's from. If you don't understand, if you can't identify, then you might even blame God. You might believe that God has given up on you. You might believe that God doesn't have a design for you or desire from you. But I got news for you today. Jesus has never given up on you. And if you've got breath in your lungs, if you've got breath, let me hear them. I said, if you've got breath, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you've got breath, your purpose is not done. The devil is genuinely concerned about your life because God's design is powerful. God's design is great. And God's design is where he wants to propel you to your purpose on the planet so that people's lives will be transformed because you are here. And the devil knows if he can do this silent attack called the shame game, then you'll walk away and no one will know where you went or why. Because shame is a quiet thing. Shame is not public. Man, there are people in this room today, you got a smile on your face. You look like you got your whole life all in order. But you carry shame in your life. And because you carry shame, you always, when it comes time for God to do something fresh and new, you literally talk yourself out of God's best for your life because you carry the silent thing called shame. This is not new. I'm going to show you today, it's not new at all. But the amazing part is if we're not paying attention, we can get caught. Now, how many of you know when you got born again, man, everything changed in your life? The Bible says the blood of Jesus washed away every single one of your sins. The blood of Jesus made you new within. Our old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You become the very temple of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God declares that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, that you have a change in nature. You're not the same person that you were before, but by the Spirit of the Lord, this divine nature found in Peter shows that you now have the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, tempers. Against such there is no law. The very fruit of the Holy Spirit, the personality of God coming and bursting out of you. For it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives. And the life that I live in the flesh will live according to the faith of the Son of God. You see, God moves in our lives. He's transformed us. The power of sin is broken. Shout amen. Amen. Romans chapter 6 says you are no longer a slave to sin the moment you got saved. But the fact is how many of you have sinned after you got saved? How many have sinned the same sin twice after you got saved? How many have done the same sin three times? Four times? Too many times? You sat back and man, every time you sin, You got to know this, is that you no longer, you're not a slave to that. You chose that. Every single time when you're a believer, when you're born again, when Jesus Christ dwells inside of you, that the moment that we choose to sin, and I said that, we choose to sin. What happens is when we come upon the threshold or the temptation, remember the temptation is not sin. The temptation is the opportunity. But what happens is when you're coming upon the opportunity of sin, you then have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you saying, don't do that. Come on now, don't go there. You're going to regret that. Come on, don't do that over there. But we have a choice. And many times, can I hear an amen? Many times we choose wrongly. Everybody else is a liar. We choose wrongly sometimes. Whether it be a thought, whether it be words, whether it be a sinful action, we make poor decisions. And in the poor decision, the moment we have chosen to sin, immediately we know that conviction comes in our life. When conviction comes in our life, we have the responsibility, the Bible says, because Jesus knew that we would sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Amen. And in that, he wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to the church. He was saying, if you sin or when you sin, if you call on my name, I'll wash your sins away. I'll throw it as far as the east and to the west. I will remember it no more. And every single time you're forgiven, you are forgiven. Brand new slate. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But what happens is the moment we sin, the devil sees an opportunity. And the opportunity is shame. Not conviction. Shame is when you feel that you are worthless, unworthy, unable, disqualified. And so many people, they sin. Man, God's got great things for them. They sin. And then they fall to the game of shame. And soon they start disappearing from the body of Christ. And then all of a sudden you're saying, where'd you go? Oh, I'm good, Pastor. I'm good. I'm spending more time with the Lord than I've ever been before. Oh, Pastor, I'm good. I'm praying more than I've ever prayed before. It's a lie. Because when you start disappearing from the house of the Lord, you know things just aren't right with your heart. Say amen or oh my. Which means you probably got caught up in the shame game. And the enemy is trying to dislocate you from your divine purpose. We got to identify it. We've got to really be able to see it. And we've all got to recognize he's never changed his tactics. He's doing the same thing right now that he did way back then with Adam and Eve. I'm going to show it to you today. But if we don't identify it, then some of you are going to walk away from the Lord. As God's threshold of blessing is in your life, you're going to walk away. Because you feel shame in your life. Smile, but inside, shame. God wants to identify that and get you healed up. Can I hear an amen? Amen. One of the greatest examples of this is a verse we've read, I don't know, I probably read 1,000 times, if not more. But as this week, as I was reading the Word of God, it just came alive to me as he dropped this in my spirit about shame. And I want to show it to you because I want you to see as we go through the book of Luke and then we go back to the book of Genesis, that it's the same thing every single time. The enemy works the same way. So you've got to guard yourself from shame because shame is not from God. I'm going to say it again. Shame is not from God. I said shame is not from God. Conviction is from God. Conviction is the Holy Spirit saying, get right. But shame is different. Get right means you know and understand that God is realigning you. Shame is God is denying you. When you grasp this, it literally brings a whole transition of how you react to that emotion called shame. Right. Peter's probably the greatest example. And we're going to read it again. Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 54. And it says this. So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Now, you all know. Anybody had somebody staring at them? Listen, my wife and I, because we do the TV thing. Man, everybody said, Pastor, you're just so prideful you do TV. Listen, the moment you do TV, you lose all anonymity. And so when we go to eat at Cracker Barrel, everyone goes like this. I can't pat her hiney. I can't pinch her bum. I can't argue with my wife at Cracker Barrel. Dear Lord, let's move on. Amen. So here's Peter, man. He's at the fire, and all of a sudden, some girl starts staring at him. She's looking at him, and she says, after a while, she says, this man was one of the followers of Jesus. And immediately, you find Peter retorting, simply saying, no, not me. No, you got somebody wrong. Not too long after that, somebody else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. Nope, I'm not one of them. About an hour later, so we're looking at a span of time that all of a sudden, can you imagine Peter? Can you imagine Peter after the first time he denied Jesus? Can you imagine the emotions that are running in his heart? Can you imagine the feelings and the guilt that he's starting to feel as he just denied Jesus, not just once, but now twice. And all of a sudden, about an hour later, someone looks at him and says, yeah, you were one of those guys. You're a Galilean, aren't you? And Peter said, I don't even know this guy. I don't know what you're talking about. Man, he starts getting a little upset and a little tweaked. You see, I want you to see something today. Peter never once thought he would ever deny Jesus. Peter never once thought he would ever turn his back on God. I want you to realize one of the great problems that Peter had was he was overconfident upon his own abilities instead of relying completely upon the presence of Jesus. See, what happens is when you become overconfident, you become dangerous to yourself. Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 29, and Peter said, even if everyone else deserts you, Jesus, I never will. Matthew 26, 35, Peter insisted, even if I have to die for you, Jesus, I will never deny you. And then all the rest of the disciples says, yeah, we too, we got the Jesus. John 18, 10. Then Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of Malchus, the high priest's slave. So here's Peter, man. This dude, he was passionate about his Jesus. He was passionate about his God. He was passionate about his relationship. So passionate that he was so confident, I will never deny you. Not only will I never deny you, if I've got to die for you, I'll die for you. I don't care what any of these other guys do. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. So passionate that in the garden, when they came to take Jesus, he drew the sword and sliced the ear off of the high priest's servant. And then Jesus, don't you love Jesus, reached down and just kind of super glued it back on. Glory to God. Peter was one that was so driven, so loving of his master. He was so confident that no matter what, he would never sin or turn his back on Jesus. And this is the sad part. So many people just really, they don't believe. And many times it's the older believers. I'll never be that. I'll never do that. Oh, listen now. I remember one time I was at a church and the pastor walked up to a young man, looked at him and said, don't you ever come back to church till you cut your hair, take the earring out of your ear, and don't wear those kind of clothes any longer. It's horrible, man. It was evil. I've watched pastors and I've watched individuals. I've watched old saints look down on young believers. They get so confident and so cocky in their own selves that they forget. The Bible says very clearly that you and I should never think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Can I hear an amen? Because we never know. We never know what a moment's going to bring. We never know what a temptation is going to bring before us. But the one thing that we've got to know is simply this. is that Jesus so loves us desperately, Jesus so loves us desirably, that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I'll always be with you, even all into the end of the world. My God loves you. He desires you. And Jesus will never give up on you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Nobody's bulletproof. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says this way, dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back to the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. You see, and this is what Peter did. He was so confident, man, he never denied Jesus. Yet 3 times around the same fire, within the same hour, he literally denied his master. Has anybody ever sinned in it? Just the moment you got done sinning, man, it just took your heart away. You just said, I can't believe I did that. How stupid. Why would I do such a thing? You know, that's the power. That's the power of what sin does to us. It starts that separation process. You see, sin is that separator. And when we start to sin, man, we start realizing that all of a sudden there's something wrong with the most important portion of my life, and that is my relationship with God. Now listen, now if you're no longer convicted and you're still in a sin, you're in a dangerous spot. That got really quiet. It said, say amen. If you're in a sin and you're not being convicted of that sin any longer, you're in a dangerous spot. It means your heart is getting hard. But when we sin, there should be some kind of reaction. Man, Peter had a reaction. How many of you know Peter had a reaction? It's almost like somebody getting stung by a bee. 1 minute they're like this, the next minute they're like poof. The Bible says that the moment that Peter got done sinning the last time, that Jesus, oh, how many of you love Jesus? Jesus turned, now listen now, watch. Here's Jesus on trial. Like, they're going to kill him. Here he is, his back is here. And the Bible says when Peter denied him the third time, that Jesus turned and looked him in the eyes. And I'm telling you now, it wasn't the eyes of condemnation. It wasn't the eyes of you better be ashamed of yourself. It's not the eyes of, listen, I've given up on you. I want you to hear what the eyes of Jesus were saying, because the eyes are the gateway to the soul. You see, Jesus addressed this in Luke chapter 22. He said, Simon, Simon. Listen, you know what's important when your name gets mentioned twice. When my wife says, Michael James. My ma used to say that. Yep. Anybody ever been called by your first and middle name? You know you were in trouble. How many of you had the same name twice? No. So, Michael James! Jesus looked at Simon before he ever fell. And he said, Simon, Simon! Pay attention. This is that pay attention moment. This is that moment. I love it in the ESV. It goes like this. It says, Simon, Simon, behold. Now, Carla, she used to be our admin. And my mind is moving on a constant basis. And so when Carla needed to talk to me, Carla would walk up to me. She'd get like 6 inches, Carla Visha, 6 inches from my face. And she'd go like this, Pastor, Pastor, right here. I'm here, right here. Pay attention to me. Because if she didn't do that, she'd say whatever she's going to say, and I didn't remember a blessed thing. She'd get mad. She'd come in. I told you. I said, nah, you never told me nothing. Pastor, right here, right here. Simon, Simon, behold. He said, Jesus saying, listen now. Simon, I'm saying your name twice because you got to pay attention. But now I'm telling you, listen, listen. Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. Do you know what that is? Wheat has a good part that's edible and a hard part that they would break off and throw away, and many times they would burn. You know that God is sifting us on a consistent basis, but God will never use sin as a basis of sifting. When the enemy comes in our life, he brings sin or temptation to our life. That sin is or temptation is not the sin. It's whether or not you're going to follow through with that temptation. And here, that will separate the shaft or the wheat from the, there it is, hold on, now whatever. Here it is, ready? Hi, how are you? I love what Jesus said. Because Jesus is pretty cool. How many of you know Jesus is pretty cool? Jesus said this. He says, hey, pay attention. Simon, I'm praying for you. He might even gone mafia in that one. I'm praying for you. Who is he praying to? Come on now, get this. Here's Jesus, the Son of God. He's getting ready to die on a cross. And he looks at this guy named Peter. Simon, Simon, behold, come on now. I want you to know something. I'm praying for you. I'm talking to Father God for you. I'm standing in the gap for you. I don't know who you are, but I want you to know something. If Jesus will stand in the gap for Peter, Jesus will stand in the gap for you. If Jesus will stand for Peter, Jesus will stand for you. He's not giving up on you. He's not backing away from you. Man, Jesus told, listen now, Jesus warned him. This is where you get so confident, man. You get cocky, you get yourself hurt. He told Peter before he ever did, he says, you're going to fall. He said, and when you've turned again, strengthen your brethren. And I love Peter's response. You ready? Lord, I'm ready to do both. Go to prison and die for you. What do you do next chapter? He denied him 3 times. And what happened when Jesus turned? It wasn't condemnation. Remember, I already prayed for you. Don't you give up. Don't you walk away. Don't you leave me. Yeah, I know. I know you're going to get hurt. I know this is painful. I know this is devastating. But listen, I already told you it was coming. I already told you this was going to. Don't you give up, Peter. I prayed for you. I stood in the gap for you. I'm not giving up on you. Don't you give up on me. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And you see, the Bible says that Peter ran away and he wept bitterly. You know what the word bitter means? It means like violently. If you cried so much, you hurt so much, you may be disappointed in yourself so much that you cried until it actually hurt. That's exactly what happened with Peter. Peter was in that position where he was so devastated by his decision. Let's be real. He probably gave up more on himself than anybody else. And you can't let that happen to your life. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what problems you've had. I don't know what struggles you've been through. I don't know what sins you participated with. But I want you to, not one of those things surprised Jesus. Not one of those things he went, whoa! I didn't see that coming. And you got to know that if he's praying for Peter, he's praying for you. That if he's standing in the gap for Peter, he's saying, Peter, listen now, when you get up, which simply says this, he fell. And I'll ask again, how many of you have sinned the same sin twice after you got saved? How many 3 times? You know what's amazing is you can always tell when somebody's in the shame game. As a pastor, and I've been doing this over 30 years. Number one, they stop coming to church as consistent. Number two, the next person they always ignore is me. They always ignore the pastor. I'm talking like, listen now, if you want to fake it, don't ignore me. But you can't not ignore me. Why? Because you're in shame. When there's shame, it literally motivates your life. When there's shame, it literally makes you make decisions that you normally would not make if you were living with a clear conscience. And you've got to make a decision in your heart. I will not fall to the game of the shame. I will not allow the enemy to take my vision away. I will not allow the enemy to destroy my purpose on this planet. And you see, this is what I love about Peter. He had to make a decision. As he went away weeping bitterly, violently, he had to make a decision whether he was going to go back to his boats and stay or that he would remain in the vision that God had for him. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you deal with this shame on a consistent basis. Some of you are in bondage. Some of you are struggling with addictions. And you've got to know something. It's never shocked Christ. Jesus said he can deliver you. Jesus said he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You don't have to walk around with this self-inflicted, diabolical noose around your neck. You ever heard of a spirit of heaviness? It's an actual demonic spirit. You usually will see it in people that are dealing with great shame or people that are struggling with depression. That the spirit of heaviness will come upon them. It is literally a demonic spirit that will come upon them and literally will mope them. They even will fake it to everybody else. But inside, they are lost in their heart. Inside, they are living in shame in their heart. Inside, they have lost hope in their heart. Inside, they've lost faith in their heart. And God wants you to know that God wants to deliver you from the spirit of heaviness. And he wants to give you a spirit of joy and peace and long-suffering. God wants to bless you with a blessing of heaven so that you can be free and free indeed in Jesus' name. You see, everything has to do with getting you alone. You see, when we go back to Genesis, you see the same story with different names. Turn there with me, Genesis chapter 3. You know, I'd always encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. I know that we are a media-driven individual, and I'm preaching my sermon off of an iPad, and I have my verses on there. I could do that. I don't have to bring a physical Bible. But I want you to know that you need a physical Bible. You need to write in it. You'll remember more what you write and underline. I got two amens. Can I have a three? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than all the other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? I want you to know that that's always the way the devil works. Did God actually say? You see, when you sinned and you went to God and you asked for forgiveness, the enemy starts moving in your heart with that shame game, saying, do you really think God will forgive you? Do you really think, come on, how many times have you done this? How many times have you said sorry? How many times do you really think that this time God will actually forgive you? Listen, the enemy is constantly trying to get you to second guess the word of God. But the Bible is clear. Can I hear an amen? That if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you. You know, cleansing is very interesting. You know, when I got married, I chose not to do the double D's. Does everybody know what they are? Dishes and diapers. And I told my wife, I'm never doing dishes and diapers. You just need to know that off the start. I don't want to be a liar and deceive you, but when we get married, I'm never doing dishes and diapers. And I do dishes all the time now. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Didn't do diapers. I did at least one. I thought about doing one. But you don't need to change a diaper to get this word picture. All of a sudden you're carrying your child and you hear this noise. The baby with the poo-poos. But it wasn't just poo-poos. It went up the back of the diaper. Saturated the clothing. It's on your arm. Why is it always green? Help me. Why is it green? It can't be brown. It's green. So here you are, man. Now you got to clean this kid up. But instead of cleaning this kid up, you take the kid and you open the garbage can and you go just like this. Whoosh. Dirty child. I told you not to poop in your diaper. Right? Oh, no. Then why do you think God does that to you? Instead, you got to clean this child. And you know because of... It's not going to take one baby wipe. You need 17. You take that child and you lay the child out. You pull up the onesie. Peel back the... What do they call those things? Flaps. Now, you can't wait to go get the wipes. You got to have them things ready now. You get those things ready and you peel back the diaper. Whoa. And then you start cleaning that child up. Then you change the child. And now you have a baby that is refreshed. Say amen.
Amen.
It's exactly what God does to you. When you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He don't throw you in a trash, baby. He didn't throw Peter in the trash, baby. He's going to clean you up when you call on his name. When I call his name, when you start calling the name of Jesus, he shows up. He makes you clean on the outside. He makes you clean on the inside. But watch what the devil's going to try to do. Come on now. You know God can't forgive. You know you can't get cleaned up from this. You too dirty. There's no more change of clothes. I'm out of diapers. I got no wipes. I'll tell you something. That's just a lie from hell. God never runs out of wipes. Can I hear an amen? And he needs them a lot with his children. Can I hear an amen? Now, the Bible says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And he said to the woman, now listen, remember in the garden, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Say amen.
Amen.
There are only two genders. I have three children, two boys and a girl. The piping was different. Only two ways. Say amen or oh my. You shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it. By the way, God never said don't touch it. Don't add to God's stuff. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, watch this now, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree would be desired to make one wise, she took of it, of the fruit, and ate it, and also gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate. Watch this now. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Sin always brings a consciousness of lost. Because these were the first. They really didn't have a real game plan. But I want to show you how people deal with this when they go into shame has been the same since Genesis chapter 3 that it is even today in today's reality of 2021. What happened? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths, or They tried to cover their own sin. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Watch this now. Where are you? God said. I heard the sound of you in the garden and was afraid. Do you realize this is the very first time that fear was ever brought on the planet? You see, if you're in fear, you automatically know that there's something wrong with your relationship with Jesus. Fear is the opposite of faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. When these folks entered into fear, it was because they stepped out of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear is your worst enemy. Fear is from the devil. Fear will always bring you into shame. Fear will always bring you into disconnect. Fear will always disavow you from God's promises. And so what'd they do? They hid themselves. I see it, like I said earlier, all the time. Where you been? Call them on the phone. Where you been? Oh, I'm just busy, Pastor. Just busy. You ain't busy. No, I know what the problem is. Because it's been the same problem since Genesis 3. You ain't busy. You ain't right. There's something wrong. Whether you're in shame or you're in sin. See, shame keeps you from praying. Shame keeps you from praising. Shame keeps you from the word. Shame always keeps you from the house. And shame always makes sure you don't call the pastor. You got to make decisions in your life to identify this devil. Because if you don't, you're going to walk in shame and literally never fulfill God's purpose for your life. See, Peter had a choice here. He had a choice as he violently went away and he wept. Listen, it wasn't just a cry. It was He felt such guilt. He felt such shame because everything that he said he wouldn't do, he ended up doing. But yet Jesus, when he turned, what he said with his eyes, what he said with his spirit resounded in some way in Peter's life because Peter didn't stay down. Peter didn't stay defeated. Peter didn't stay in shame. Peter stood up. Peter got back up. I want you to know today, I don't know what shame you carry, but Jesus Christ, he said, I've came to set you free from the spirit of shame. I've come to set you free from the spirit of heaviness. I've come that you might have life, Zoe, the God kind of life, and that you will have victory in everything you do. You see, we've got to make a decision in our hearts. And something we can't forget. Peter, even when he denied Jesus three times, there's something we can't deny about Peter. He deeply loved Jesus, even when he denied him. You see, the judgmental folks, man, they look down and go, hey, you know, they were never right with the Lord before anyways. Oh, you know, they did this. Well, you know. Listen, that's why the Bible says restore with love and mercy. Why? Because you don't want to end up in the same spot they were. Because the only reason they are and you aren't is because of the mercies of God. It's because of the grace of God, the power of God. None of us should ever look down on anybody. But the Bible says if you are mature, restore. You're the one that reaches down and tries to pull them up. You're the one that tries to encourage them. Now, I'm not saying you deny where they're at. But you see, you don't keep them where they're at. You grab them by the toe. If you got to put a string on their toenail to drag them uphill, you got to do what you got to do. But it's time to build people. It's time to strengthen people. It's time to encourage people. It's time that we don't let them die in the shame game. This is the year of change. And the enemy's afraid of the change that you're going to make in your life. Because he knows the closer you get to Christ, the more impact you're going to have against his kingdom. But if he can keep you in shame, if he can keep you tethered to your past rather than moving towards your future, shame always makes you live in your past. Forgiveness gives you opportunity for newness of life. My question to each one of us in the room, how many times have we fallen for the shame game the devil plays in our life? Maybe you are there right now. And I want you to hear what Jesus, when he turned and he said to Peter, "Hey, when you get up, encourage the brethren that they too can get up." Come on now. If that don't make you happy, nothing's going to make you happy. If that don't encourage you, nothing's going to encourage you. If that don't stir you, nothing's going to stir you. Because every one of us have been somewhere in some place in some area of shame. My question is, will you live in the shame game, or will you choose to get up and finish the race? Everybody's been there. Not one person in this room, if you've been born again for any period of time, has been outside of the shame game. I remember the very first time my mother said fart. Oh, you never said that? Must have been my wife. Now you need to know that's like a swear word to her. Been trying to get her to say it for years. What's that? I know she wouldn't, honey. I was just playing. Seeing if I could get her to admit it, that, you know, something we hadn't heard. Where? Oh, she just said my name, Michael James. Question for you. Honest question. Because we're all, man, I don't care who you are. I don't care what title you carry. I don't care what kind of car you drive. Whether you live in a mansion or whether you don't live in a mansion. Whether you drive a nice Mercedes or whether you drive a Yugo. Every one of us have been in the same spot of shame. My question is, are you still there? Or have you made a decision to get up? Now, some of you got to change your life. Well, that got quiet, didn't it? I said, some of you got to change your life. What does that mean? Some of you got to get out of this. You got to get out of the shame game board game. You know, I don't like games. I'm not a game guy. So, like, when you play, like, what is that, Yahtzee and things like that, are you into Yahtzee? Monopoly? I hate Monopoly. Monopoly takes 10 years to play. It's like a horrible game. I don't know whoever created that thing. I'm not a game guy. And you know, with your life, you can't be a game person. There are some things you've got to get out of so that you don't ever get tempted with shame like that again. I had a guy come up to me one time, and he was into porn. And I said to him, "Yeah, you can play. Makes it softer when I talk about porn." And he was into porn, like hardcore porn, pay porn. And he came to me and he said, "Pastor," and he was like in deep shame, like deep shame. And no one would ever know. I mean, he wasn't running around going, "Hi, I'm in porn." And I said to him, I said, "Dude, first of all, you got to get right with the Lord. You got to get your heart right with Jesus." He goes, "I know that, but I'm tempted all the time with this." And I said, "Dude, you got to get rid of the game." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Give me your computer." "Can't do that." Well, today he no longer follows Jesus. Not only doesn't follow Jesus, he speaks against Jesus. Why? Well, because of shame. Peter made a decision. Just like we have to make a decision. I'm not in the game. Whatever's in my life I got to get out, I'm going to get out. But I'm not going to fall to the devil's spirit of heaviness. I'm going to live in victory in Jesus' name. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
Some of you are dealing with shame today, and I believe in God that that spirit of heaviness is going to get broken off. The prayer team's going to come around the front of the altar this morning. You don't have to tell anybody what you're dealing with. But you do need to say, I want to be free from this spirit of shame. It's a natural spirit. It doesn't start off like a spirit. Remember, the devil loves an open opportunity. That open door and continual open door leads the opportunity for a spiritual experience. So I want to encourage you today, you don't have to be bound. And you know what binds a lot of people? Their pride. When the Spirit of the Lord is here, when God wants to move in this dynamic way, when God wants to set the captives free, our pride keeps us in Egypt. You got to make a decision. Nothing's worth staying in shame for. I desire to be free in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know God is healing someone's right knee on the inside. If you follow like the kneecap, on the inside of the kneecap, it goes from about a halfway down to three quarters of the way down on the inside of the kneecap. God is healing it in the name of Jesus. Start moving your knee around. You'll feel the freedom coming in Jesus' name. But right now, if you're in, you're not right with the Lord, man. You know you're not right with God. And listen, there's no condemnation. I'm serious. This is where you need to make sure you're right with Jesus. If you're not right with the Lord, and today you want to get right with God. You've heard me say 1,000, I'm not asking you to join a church. You can't join this church. We don't have a membership. But you can join the family of God, and I want you to know Jesus as your Savior. I want you to be free and free indeed. Today, if you're not right with the Lord, and today you know in your spirit, the Spirit of God is drawing you. You need to get right with the Lord. I want you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room that needs to get their heart right with the Lord? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Thank you, young lady. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else this morning? Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you. Anyone else? 5, 4, 3. Pastor, why do you count down every week? Because it might be your last countdown. As Brother Tiff preached 2 weeks ago, a lot of people have a misconception that they can get saved any day they want. You only get saved when the Spirit's drawing you. And if you're in the room, the Spirit's drawing you. If you're watching online and you know you need to get right with the Lord, the Spirit's drawing you. Don't think you've got any time you want to get right with God. You get right with God when you have the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. 3, get your hand up. 2, last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If you raise your hand for salvation, Amanda's right over here. You see she's raising her hand on this side? Very good. Listen now, we're not going to embarrass you, but we can't let you leave here without getting you in your Bible, without praying for you, without making sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you're not going to just start this race, but you're going to finish the race. Amen? So if you need to grab the person next to you, grab them and bring them up front with you. We want to make sure you're going to serve God all the rest of the days of your life. Today, if you're dealing with shame, when we dismiss the service, make your way up front. Find somebody in this prayer line who will pray with you. We're going to need some men up here, too. I need some pastors to move. Very good. Pastors, very good men. Men with men, women with women. If you need prayer to break the power of this spirit that's on your life of shame, today's your day. Don't you let this day go by with carrying that thing. Jesus didn't build you to carry it. Let me say it one more time. You were not built to carry shame. Jesus carried it for you already. But he can't take it if you don't give it to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare the breaking of the power of the devil in the lives of the people that are watching here, right in this room and online and on television. I declare he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I declare in the name of Jesus that shame will not hold us down, but we're going to be like Peter. We're going to get up. We're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to preach the very first message. God, we're going to bring revival to the world in the name of Jesus. Everyone thought he was done. The devil thought he was done. But the resurrection and the life brought him back with greatness, as you and I will be as well. In the name of Jesus, God, use our lives this week. Let us lead at least one soul to you. God, use us to bring somebody out of the shame game and into salvation for the glory of God. And everybody in agreement said, amen. I love you. Come on, if you raise your hand, make sure you come over on this side. If you need prayer right now, make sure you come down here. We want to lay hands on you. Minister, get you free in the name of Jesus.
Chamber.